Welcome, everyone, to the Kingdom Crossroads, and I'm your host, T.S. Wright, and I'm so glad you could join us today. If you haven't already, hit that follow subscribe button, give us a like. Well, today we have a very special guest on our show, and you know you hear me say that a lot, but this guy has his own show, and he's been doing this for a little while himself. I've actually been on his show. Feel free to go over there, listen to our conversation. It was a magnificent conversation. We had a great time, and I wanted to invite him on this show. And you may hear him on the show more than just this time. And he has a great testimony, and I want him to share that today with you. So, the Ruse, Joe Ruse, Ruscello, all right? Joe Ruscello, welcome to the show.
Hey, T.S., thank you, man. I appreciate this. I've been looking forward to this since we talked about it when you came on my show.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. So, here we go. So, Joe, the question, it's usually one of the only questions I ask, and that usually just leads to all the conversations, as the audience knows. Tell us, just walk us through your story. Tell us how God has impacted and shaped your journey.
So do you want me to start at the very, very beginning?
You just...
Where do you want me to start?
You feel the power of the Spirit, and you just take it wherever he tells you to go.
Okay, so we'll start at the beginning. I think that's probably the best thing to do. Kind of give you more context where it comes from. So I grew up, I'm not a native Texan, even though you might see the Texas flags and everything behind me here. I am originally from New York, New York City. Born and raised Brooklyn, New York, Sheepshead Bay, Brooklyn. Worked for New York City for almost 25 years. Retired from New York City service, moved down here about 10 years ago. And love it. Not moving back ever again. Won't even consider it. I like freedom. I like liberty. I like to be able to do the things that I like to do and not have to have the government standing over my shoulder. But that's another story, another time. But I grew up like most, you know, New York Italian families. I grew up predominantly Roman Catholic family. Went through catechism until I got thrown out, which we'll come to shortly. I just did the normal routine, like anybody, you know, growing up in a Roman Catholic family would. And I don't remember exactly how old I was, but it had to be around the time that the Catholic Church does first communions. I had an uncle, my uncle Joe. Everybody in my family's either named Dominic or Joe. So it's just the way it works. My uncle Joe was the first person in my family that I knew of that stepped outside the Roman Catholic Church and started pursuing the Lord through a Protestant denomination. I'm not going to say specifically which one because I have some doctrinal issues with them now, knowing more what I know now. There were some issues there. But I idolized my uncle growing up. I wanted to be just like Uncle Joe. So when he went off to Bible school and he went off to seminary, he eventually became a pastor in this particular denomination. He would send me audio tapes of his preaching. He would send me, you know, notes and things like that. But when he was in school, when he would come home on his breaks, he would bring his textbooks. And he'd bring all of his study materials, and then he would leave them at home because he wouldn't need them again for the next semester, and then he'd go back to school. So at a very, very young age, I started reading theology. I started reading the church fathers. I started reading all of these commentaries. He bought me my first two Bibles, which I should have brought them in with me. I still have them. They're in the other room. I loved it. And I think at the time I loved it more because I loved my uncle, you know, and I wanted to be just what my uncle was. So what I didn't know until shortly after was that when he would come home from school, he would take my Catholic catechism books and he would rewrite them. So I would go to catechism class and I would open up my workbook and there was a stapled addendum to the page with big red X's through everything and said, this is not what happened. And then he would rewrite the whole story. And of course, you know, I would get in trouble for that. It didn't really stop me from looking at what he did and follow along with what he was doing. So I think the straw that broke the camel's back was when I had to go to a confession. And I'll never forget this. This was really pivotal for me at a very young age, I think, anyway. The priest, the parish priest, told me, you have to come to confession and all that stuff. And I already knew enough at that point to say, well, why am I telling you what I've done? You can't do anything about it. Now, mind you, I was a kid. I didn't say it quite that way, you know, but, well, he didn't like that. And, he literally took me by the arm and dragged me outside to my mother and handed me off to her and said to her, we don't need his kind here. I will never, ever, ever forget that. Forgive him? Absolutely. But will I forget it? No. And that stayed with me for my life. The, you know, of course I followed my uncle. I still listened to what he had to say. And, you know, he would send me as I got older. I went to his ordination. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I was so taken by that. And, you know, I wanted to be part of all of that. And, it was very interesting. I don't want this to turn into my uncle's testimony because I really can't give my uncle's testimony that well. But, as time went on and the more I studied and more I read, I went to him one day when I think I was about 13, like maybe 14. I went to him. I said, Uncle Joe, I want to be what you are. I want to join your church. And my uncle said to me flat out, he goes, no, you don't. Well, why not? Well, it's not for you. Okay. Why not? Why is it not for me? But, you know, I just took it as, you know, he told me no. Okay, fine. Well, that sent me into a little bit of a tailspin. What am I going to do now? I wasn't at home in the Catholic Church and I wasn't welcome to my uncle's church. What do I do? You know? So I ended up, you know, doing what most people do. I did my own thing, you know, and as I got older, of course, I fell into the traps of, you know, all the worldly living, you know, the drinking and, you know, experimentation with things and, you know, all that stuff. And I would tell people, you know, people ask me, so what's your religious background? Well, I'm the Pope of the Worldwide Church of Joe. You know, I do what I want. I think what I want. I say what I want. I act how I want. Plain and simple. And I held on to that for a while. I'm going to fast forward a little bit here. My uncle eventually left that nomination as far as the pastoral side of it because he couldn't reconcile a few things. But he's still involved, but I don't even think he goes to that denomination's church services anymore. I think he's pretty much done. But we haven't spoken in years. We had a little bit of a falling out around 2001. But fast forward here now to older years. I'm going from the 1980s, 1990s. I'm going up to the 2000s here. So there was a particular point. It was a very strange thing. I just woke up one day and I was like, something's not right. Something is missing. This isn't. I don't feel comfortable with, you know, I there's something wrong. So of course, who do I reach out to? I reach out to my uncle. And I start talking to him and I was like, hey, Uncle Joe, do you remember those Bible studies you used to set me up with? Yeah. Do you still have access to that stuff? I was like, yeah. He said, yeah. And I was like, okay, can you set me up with that? He goes, why do you want to do that? I told you already, this isn't really for you. And so on and so forth. And I was like, well, I need something. I need some structure. I need something. And so reluctantly, he set me up with these Bible studies. So I started doing those Bible studies and I went through a few boxes I had in my attic and I found old Bible studies that I had done in the past, you know, and I started rereading those things and studying those things. All I knew is that I needed to read and I needed to study. I needed to know what God had to say about things. And I was looking at those things. I was working on those things and I was developing myself. Then I'm going to fast forward again to 2000, the year 2000. So I would say the spring of 2000. It really became unbearable. Like I felt like I needed to get closer to God. There was just things going on in my life. And I said, this is not normal. You know, these things should not be going on. You know, there's something here. God's trying to get my attention. So, it became such a fervor in me that I remember one night after I came home from work and I went into my attic. And I started digging through every box I had and I'm ripping these things apart. And my wife at the time, she yells up into the attic. She goes, what are you doing? Well, I'm looking for my Bible. She goes, you have a Bible? I'm like, yeah, I have one somewhere. You know, so I'm ripping the boxes apart. I'm looking for everything. And I'm just studying. I'm just reading and reading. Pulled out this old dog-eared Bible my uncle got me in 1978. And I'm over here, I'm reading through this thing and trying to figure things out. And shortly thereafter, I got reassigned. Now, like I said, I worked for New York City for 20 plus years, and I worked in law enforcement. So I got reassigned to a new command. It was in Lower Manhattan. And I was, you know, looking forward to it. And because I knew the commanding officer, he was one of my academy instructors when I went through the academy. So I met with him, and he was just like, he was so happy that I was coming there. He was like, you know, Joe, I need you here. This is great. I'm glad you're here. He goes, but a couple of quick things. He goes, number one, I got to put you on the overnights. Sweet. No problem. Love it. Absolutely perfect. Great. Why? Because I made more money. So, because you get night differentials. So I was like, all right, great. Yeah, no problem. He goes, and you have to ride with Gail. That's going to be your partner. I was like, okay, well, what's wrong with Gail? He goes, she's one of those born again Christian types. She's going to talk your ear off all night long. He goes, we've all been through it. It's your turn. You're the new guy here.
It's your turn.
And I was like, yeah. And I was like, all right, well, that's fine. I can handle that. You know, I think, you know, in my mind, I was like, I have enough head knowledge that I could hold my own against this person and defend my church, the Worldwide Church of Joe. You know, I'll be fine. Again, even though I was searching, I was still stubborn and holding on to, you know, I'm not quite there yet. You know what I mean? So, I'll never forget the first night that I reported for duty. I walked in, and I'm walking through the muster room, and I'm going toward the locker bays. And she comes out of the female locker bay, and she steps right in front of me. And I wasn't even dressed. I was in my, you know, civilian clothes. And I'm first day, you know, I got all my stuff. And I'm like, right. She steps in front of me, and she looks me up and down, and she goes, "You saved?" And I was like, I said, "Gail." So she goes, "Yeah." I said, "Not now." I said, "I haven't had my coffee yet." I went into the locker room. I just walked right past her. So I come out, I'm dressed, and she comes up to me again. You know, right, we went through muster, walking out, going to our vehicle, and she was like, "You didn't answer my question." I said, "You've asked me 5 questions since I got here. Which question are you referring to?" So she goes, "Don't you give me no attitude?" Like, all right. Oh, we're going to have a grand old time. So she says, "Are you saved?" I said, "Do you see coffee in my hand?" So she goes, "No." I said, "Well, let's go get coffee." Got in the vehicle. We went to go get coffee. Driving back, all I feel is the eyes burning into the side of my head while I'm driving. And I'm like, I look at her. I'm like, "What?" She goes, "When are you going to answer my question?" I said, "Look." And that started the whole thing. As soon as I said, "Look," we argued every single night. 5 nights a week, 8 hours a night, if there was over whatever period of time the shift was, we argued all night. And when I say argue, I don't mean like we were yelling at each other. I mean, we would debate, you know, and exactly. And it was, they were the great conversations, you know, there was no animosity. It wasn't like we were angry at each other. We just debated, and we built a really solid foundation, a good friendship. And this went on for weeks. So one night after work, she says to me, "Joe, there's a really good Christian radio station you need to listen to. Check it out." And she told me what it was. I think it was WMCA in New York City. It was on the AM stations. So I was like, "All right, I'll check it out." So I get in the car and I'm driving home, and I hear this old Southern preacher, and he's teaching, and I'm like, "Wow, this makes a lot of sense. This is answering a lot of my questions." So I look up who it was. It was J. Vernon McGee. And I had no idea who J. Vernon was. I never heard of him before this. And I'm listening to him, and I'm like, everything he's talking about was so relevant to what I was thinking, dealing with in my head, in my spirit. And I was hooked. I was hooked. I would, the more I listened to him, the slower I would drive home, just so I can hear the whole Bible study, not knowing that J. Vernon was already with the Lord. He was already gone. He was already dead at this point. But everything that he was teaching it was so impactful to me. I felt like he was literally directly talking to me. So, of course, I would, again, drive slower just so I can hear the whole thing. And the more I listened to him, the more I wanted to. And it started to have an effect on me. My conversations with my partner were much more calm, much more civil, much more understanding where she was coming from. And I started to see what my uncle was talking about doctrinally, why it wasn't for me, that particular denomination that he was involved with. So fast forward now to this was in July of 2000. It's a Sunday night. I'm getting ready to go to work. I was like, there's always traffic. Traffic is always the same. It's never any different. It's always a mess. Why are you going to listen to the traffic report? Only aggravate yourself. Why don't you put on that Christian station and see what's on the Christian station at this time of night on a Sunday? Okay, good idea. Turn it on. So I'm driving to work. I'm sitting in traffic. And I'm on the Brooklyn Queens Expressway. If anybody knows what I'm talking about, they know how bad the Brooklyn Queens Expressway can be. And they've been doing construction work in the Brooklyn Queens Expressway for over 50 years, and they're still not done. Because by the time they finish it, they got to start again and keep it moving. So I'm listening to this preacher, and he sounded like a younger guy, and he was preaching. And he had a very interesting way of doing it, because he would preach for a little bit and then he would take phone calls and he would answer questions and he would pray with people and then he'd go back to preaching and then he'd do it again, more phone calls and answer questions and pray with people and go back to preaching. I heard him lead someone to Christ on one of the shows following this one, you know, with some of the subsequent shows that I listened to, you know, and it was amazing. It was an amazing ministry that he had. And I heard him, he was preaching this message the first time I heard him. And he was preaching a message on hell and who's going there. And no joke, no exaggeration. It just seemed like at the end of every sentence I heard, I'm talking to you, Joe. Are you listening, Joe? This is for you. And when I tell you that, it literally scared the hell out of me. It really did. And so I wrote down the phone number. Now, this is before we had cell phones and stuff like that. So, you know, so I wrote down the phone number for the church. For the radio show. And I was like, when I get to work, I am going to call. I have a question. Well, because of traffic, I didn't make it. You know, the show was over by the time I got to work. And besides, I was kind of nervous. I didn't think I was going to call anyway, you know, because I know me, I'm not going to do it. So I waited. I sat on it for a couple of days and it's kind of just mulled over in my head. You know, even in my sleep, you know, I would dream about having a conversation with this guy. And so I said, finally, one day, okay, fine. I'm going to make the phone call. So I called the phone number that I had. And of course, that was for the radio station. The radio station gave me the number to their church. Okay. So I'm nervous already making the phone call. Now I got to make another phone call. And so I call the church. And of course, I get answering machine, which made it even worse. And I must have sounded like an idiot when I called. Hi, I heard you on the radio. You know, and he called me back like 10 minutes later. And we sat on the phone for almost an hour, answered every question I could possibly have. And he was like, hey, you know, why don't you come to church Sunday? I was like, no. Just like that. I was like, no. He was like, well, why not? I said, because if I walk into your church, the building's going to fall down. Are you crazy? No, I'm not coming to church.
Lightning is going to strike.
And I'm not coming to church. You're out of your Forget it. So he goes, because the building's not going to fall down. Just come to church. I'm like, no, how about this? I would feel more comfortable if I had an opportunity. I can meet you first. And maybe I can come to your office and we can sit down and we can talk about it. And he was like, well, he goes, I don't have an office, a church office. The building that we hold church services in, we rent from a private school in Lower Manhattan. Oh, really? Where in Lower Manhattan? And he told me the location. And I was like, you're kidding me. I said, that's just literally a block away from where I work. So he was like, oh, that's great. He goes, what's your schedule? We can meet for lunch. I was like, well, I work overnights and so on and so forth. And so we agreed that we would meet up for dinner. Now, again, I have no idea who this guy is and never saw him. Didn't know what he looked like. And he had no idea who I was, what I looked like. And it was very, very interesting when we met, because he picked me out of the crowd. I picked him out of the crowd. It was like we just knew who each other were without ever seeing each other. Now, mind you, I wanted to show him what I was doing. And I had this big red duffel bag. And I took every single book that I had on my bookshelf and I stuffed it into this duffel bag and I brought it with me. And carried this thing. We go into the restaurant. We sit down, having a great conversation, having a meal. And he says, well, he goes, I don't think that, you know, the Lord brought us together here just to have dinner. He goes, so what's on your mind? And I said, well, I'm confused about a few things. I want to talk to you about this stuff. This is what I've been doing. And I reach down and I pull up my duffel bag. I dump the duffel bag on the table. And he did this exactly. He looked at everything here, and he just pushed it all off the table. He picked up his King James Bible. He put it down in his place. He goes, that's all you need. He goes, forget all that stuff. That's all you need. And as soon as he said that to me, I was hooked. I was. I'll be very honest with you. I was hooked.
Amen.
And then he went on to explain the gospel and what the gospel message is. You know, the death, burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I sat there. I'm sure I didn't sit there like this, but that's what it felt like, you know. I was totally caught up in it, and I listened, and it just felt right. But clock, I had to get to work. So he was like, "Well, I'll walk over there with you." Okay, great. Yeah. So we walked, and we kept on talking. We get to where the front of my command was, and he was like, "Do you have 10 more minutes?" He goes, "I don't think God put us together for this to end this way." He goes, "Just give me 10 more minutes." I was like, "Yeah, I could do 10 more minutes." So we took a walk a little bit further down to Pier 34, which is, if anybody's familiar with New York City, Pier 34 is on the corner of Canal Street and West Street along the West Side Highway. Beautiful view of then the World Trade Center towers. We walked onto the pier. We went to the third bench off the gate. And we sat down. He opened up the Word of God, and he started taking me down the Romans Road. I'm sure we're all familiar with what the Romans Road is. And I'm listening to him, and he's explaining this to me. And then some guy on a bike, don't know where this guy came from. There was nobody on the pier. This guy comes on a bike and he starts circling the bench that we're sitting on. And I'm not kidding. I'm not making this up. This is not exaggerated. If you don't believe me, the pastor wrote a book and he has this whole story in his book. So I can refer. I would hope that the pastor was not lying. So this guy, he's riding in circles around us, just riding in circles, riding in circles, riding in circles. And he's cursing at us and he's yelling and he's spitting and he's doing all this stuff. And I don't know how many times he circled us, but all of a sudden out of nowhere, the bike just stopped and he flipped over the handlebars. He hit something on the pier, on the deck, that flipped him over his handlebars. Literally cracked his head open. No joke, blood everywhere, all that stuff. So me being in law enforcement, what's my first reaction is, well, I got to help this guy. So I jump up, I go running over to help him. The pastor follows me. He comes over and he's talking to the guy, and I'm trying to get somebody from my command to come down here and take over and, you know, get a bus, an ambulance, we call them buses, get a bus for the guy. And the guy's girlfriend comes over and she starts cursing at the pastor. And she's telling him, you know, get the F away from him, you know, leave him alone and all that stuff and all that wonderful stuff. And more of the colorful metaphors you can possibly imagine. And again, where'd they come from? I have no idea. So the pastor prayed for him, got up, he walked away. I'm here trying to coordinate the scene. That's what I do. Trying to coordinate everything. And the pastor very gently comes over and he taps my elbow and he goes, come on. Now the ambulance was there. My guys were there. You know, everything's under control. He taps me on the arm. He goes, come on. He goes, what we're doing is more important than what they're doing. He goes, they're working to save his life. We're working to save your soul. And I was like, okay. You know, and I just kind of shuffled off a little bit because I, you know, That hit me. That hurt, you know, not hurt in a bad way, but it got me. And so we stepped away. We prayed for the guy, and then he started going back down the Romans Road again. And in the middle of all of that chaos, I mean, the sirens, the lights, the commotion, all that stuff, brother, I got down on my knees right there in the middle of that pier, and I cried my eyes out, asking the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive me and asking him to save me, and he did. And there wasn't this big flash of light coming out of the sky. There wasn't like the heavenly choir singing, anything like that. You know,
sure.
I would have liked that. It would have been nice, but you know, right. Yeah, exactly. Like I wasn't privy to it. Yeah. So, you know, I got down on my knees. I asked the Lord to save me. He did. I got up, man. I cannot even begin to describe you how different I felt at that, just that moment. The easiest way I can describe it was I felt clean. Like for the first time, I felt clean. I can't describe it any other way than that. I'm sure other people understand what I mean by that. And it was just the best feeling I've ever had. And when he helped me up, he put out his hand, he helped me up, stand up, and he had this big smile on his face. He goes, "You're going to come to church Sunday."
Amen.
And I was like, "Yes, sir, I will be there. I will be there." So immediately after that, we parted, and I went to work. And I walked into the command, and same routine like the very first day I walked
Gale.
In. I walked in,
Gale comes
walking out of the locker room. I go walking. I'm walking toward the men's locker room. She comes out. She looks me up and down. She goes,
"Exactly."
She goes, "You got saved." I was like, "What are you talking about?" So she goes, "Oh, don't you start lying right now." She goes, "You just got saved. Don't start lying." And I was like, yeah, I did. But I told her the whole story, and it was amazing. We had such a great night of fellowship that night.
Right.
And that's the first time I really understood what the word fellowship meant. You know, we sat down and we just talked about the Lord all night long. And every time I told her the story and I would finish, she was like, she'd sit back. She would go, "Tell me again." She'd want to hear the story all over again. And it was such an encouragement. It was great, you know? And the Lord worked fast with me. You know, he immediately put a desire in my heart to teach and to preach and to get involved. And as soon as I started going to the church, I mean, I didn't waste any time. I told the pastor, I said, I need to get baptized. He goes, "You do understand that, you know, baptism has no saving value whatsoever, correct?" I'm like, yeah, I understand that. He goes, "Baptism is good to get you wet." I was like, "Yeah, I get that." He goes, "I just want to make sure that you're not resting what we did Wednesday night on what we're going to do in a couple of weeks from now at your baptism." No, I understand that. I understand. I didn't, but I went and I looked it up and I studied it out just to make sure that I understood at that point. And it was an incredible experience. And I'll never forget the day I got baptized. I wept like a baby. And, I got saved in July of 2000, and I immediately got into they had a discipleship program at the church. So it was it met twice a week. You would go like a class. You'd sit down, and it was just Bible study. But more detailed. It was like Amen. Bible college level Bible study. And he put me in one of the classes that he put me in right away was preparing Bible messages. So every week we had to submit an outline. He would give us a text and he would say, "Okay," he goes, "I don't want you to pick your own text. I'm going to give you a text." And he goes, "I want you to develop an outline." And then the final exam was you had to take one of the outlines and preach it. So I did I preached my first Bible study message. I got saved in July, preached my first Bible study message in December. And it was about the prodigal son, which was quite apropos. And it was a great experience. And from that point on, man, God just opened up so much for me. I never really saw just how much God did for me in my life. From as far back as I can remember up to that moment, God preserved me through all the stupidity and all the mistakes and brother, if I told you some of the things that I had gotten myself into over the years up to the point that I got saved, it would make your blood curdle. And I think Paul understated it when he said that he was the least of all the saints. I think I got him beat on that one. And of course, you know, it's like anything; it's a growing process. You're still learning, and even to this day, it'll be 26 years now that I've been saved. You know, I'm still growing. I'm still going through the sanctification process. You know, I'm still, you know, I still learn something. Look, I'm teaching a Bible study right now on my show on Sundays. I'm going through the book of Revelation. I've taught this before. I've taught the material before. I've taught it in Sunday school at my church. I've taught it to teen groups. I've all that stuff. And just the other day, I was doing my prep for this coming Sunday, and I was looking at Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, and something just hit me like a brick. And I was like, how come I have 26 years? I haven't seen that before.
Amen.
Just goes to show me I'm still learning, and we all still learn. Amen. So you don't rest on your laurels, man. You know, that's
all right.
That's my point there.
Well,
kind of a
Joe,
long
just
story
real
there,
quick,
sorry.
Before we wrap the show up, tell us how we can, if somebody wants to get in connection with you or your material, how can they do that?
Well, it's very, very simple. So I'm, of course, the show is on all social medias. I don't like social media. Amen. I don't post personal stuff on social media. Everything Facebook. About social media is about the show. So you can find us on Facebook.
Sorry.
This is a force of habit. Joe Ruse Show on Facebook. You can also find me on X at Joe Ruse. All the social media stuff is pretty much at Joe Ruse, except Instagram. Instagram is not Joe Ruse because when I signed up for Instagram, before I even finished the registration process, they banned me for life. I don't know why. I don't know what happened. But they let me re-register as not Joe Ruse. Joe Ruse on Instagram. There you go. So you can find me there. And then, of course, for the show itself, you can find the show on Rumble at rumble.com/Joe Ruse. If you want to check us out on YouTube, you can do that too. It's youtube.com/@Joe Ruse. And I'll be honest with you, I have 2 strikes on YouTube. Okay. I'm waiting for number 3. It's coming soon, I'm sure. So if for anybody that's following the show on YouTube, please come to Rumble. Please come over there because I refuse to do the sensitivity training that YouTube wants me to do to get rid of the strikes. So come over to Rumble. That's the best place to go. It's a free speech platform. It's free. It doesn't cost you nothing. It's very easy to navigate your way through. And I think it's infinitely better than YouTube in a lot of ways. So that's how you can find me. Or you can also email me at info@joeruse.com or
well, folks, we're out of
joeruse.com.
And as you always hear me say, first of all, Joe, thank you for being on the show. Ooh. And it was great having you here, man. Great conversation. And we'll have to have you back on again sometime.
It's a pleasure.
But you guys now understand his testimony. And I'm sure there's people out here that can relate to that. Absolutely. No, I know that. And I just pray that every person hearing this remembers that. And not just from Joe's perspective, but from that pastor's perspective, every person is worth trying to reach. Every person is worth trying to reach. All right. Well, again, we're out of time. So now Amen. Go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation and let the great harvest begin. Are you looking to grow? Are you looking to be able to understand what real discipleship is? Or do you have a church or a body of believers that are looking for something to help you get past just the normal Bible study to actually be able to apply the Word of God? Well, we have a book for you. It's called Embracing the Truth. Go to tswrightspeaks.com. Message me and get your copy today. Again, tswrightspeaks.com. I look forward to hearing from you and have a blessed day.